And we step into worship tonight. Would you join me in prayer? Lord our God, as we come into worship tonight, we pray that you would quiet our hearts and still our souls. Enable us to let go of any distractions, either from this past week or even from this day, and empower us instead to focus on you as we sing your praise, as we meditate on your word, as we spend time in prayer, and as we celebrate at the table. May your spirit, O God, move in powerful ways in this place so that we will be drawn closer to you while also being equipped for service in your kingdom. In the name of the triune God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, we ask all these things. Amen. The one who receives our praises is here in our midst tonight, and he greets you with these words, "Grace, mercy, and peace be unto you from God our Father, the Lord Jesus Christ, and the mighty and transforming work of the Holy Spirit. Amen." I invite you to remain standing. I know if you look at your order of worship, you think I'm missing something, but I'm not. There's a few items in the order of worship that got left over from last Sunday. We did them last week. We're not going to do them again. So I invite you to remain standing as we confess what we believe using the words of the Apostles' Creed. These are words that unite us as brothers and sisters in Christ here and around the world and throughout all ages, just as the table does that as well for us tonight. Let us say together what we believe. We say, "I believe in God, the Father Almighty, creator of heaven and earth. I believe in Jesus Christ, his only Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Spirit and born of the Virgin Mary. He suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, died, and buried. He descended to hell. The third day he rose again from the dead. He ascended to heaven and is seated at the right hand of God the Father Almighty. From there he will come to judge the living and the dead. I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Holy Catholic Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Amen." It is our privilege to welcome tonight two of our missionaries who are also members of LaGrave, Corey and Amy Havlicek. They serve with Wycliffe and Resonate, and they're here tonight. They'll give a few words of introduction here in just a moment, and then we have a light supper that has been prepared for you. You're all welcome to stay, where they will talk more about their work, and that will happen in the multi-purpose room after the service, down the hall and to your right. So, Corey and Amy, I invite you up now at this time.
Amy, we have two boys, Edward, who is 8, and James, who is 3. We serve with Wycliffe Bible Translators. In our role, we are called Language Family Generalists, and we serve among the Mije people of Oaxaca, Mexico. The Mije speak a group of several related languages, and in our role, we work on understanding the needs of all the languages rather than a translator who might just focus on one specific need in one specific language in creating a New Testament or something. We look at all the needs of all the related languages. Historically, Wycliffe has had translators and linguists working among the Mije, but the work that they were doing began to sort of wind down in the mid-90s as people began to retire or pass away. And so there was a large gap in between them and us where our information became old and outdated. So our job and what we do is we look at what's been done and what we understood the situation to be 30 years ago, figure out what's happened in the time in between, and kind of get an idea of what the current situation is and what the current needs still are, both in terms of translation and broader linguistic work that can be used to bless the needs of the communities. So, for example, we look at, are people using their New Testaments? If not, why? Are there maybe other organizations working among these communities, maybe doing a translation, but they could benefit from workshops that our organization does? So to accomplish our work, we travel around to different Mihe communities. We talk to people, we make general observations about the language use there, whether they're using their language or maybe switching over to Spanish, right? We do a lot of research. There was a time when Wycliffe was the main organization there. That's no longer the case. And so part of our job is to kind of interact with other individuals and organizations and understand what they're doing so that we do not duplicate their work or undermine it. Because our desire is to maybe come alongside what's being done rather than to do something that they're already doing. And in the midst of this, we're also trying to learn one variety of one Mihe language. And so I guess right now what we want to do is just thank you as a church for coming alongside us in the work that we have been doing. So thank you very much for your prayers and for your generosity. And then also, as was said, we are going to be around this evening after the service for a meal and sharing a bit more in depth of what we're doing. So thank you very much.
Thank you, Corey and Amy. We look forward to hearing more after the service. The psalmist in Psalm 77 is at a low point in his life at the beginning of that psalm, but then he begins to remember who God is, what he has done, and what he can do. And tonight, in our prayer, we will have some times of silent prayer where we will have the opportunity to also remember as we pray. In one of those sections towards the end, it would be helpful if you have the announcement part of the bulletin with you that has the prayer concerns in it, to have that available. If you don't, it's okay. But if you have that, that would be helpful during one of those silent times of prayer. Would you pray with me? We come to you tonight, Father, echoing the words of the psalmist. O God, your ways are holy, for there is no God as great as you. You are the one who performs miracles and who displays your power among the people. One of the ways, O God, that you display your power is in the creation all around us. Father, we marvel at the ways you provide such a variety of weather, plants, trees, flowers, animals, cloud formations, precipitation, and colors in the sky. Hear us, Father, as we spend some time now in silent prayer, remembering your creativity in the world around us. Lord our God, we also think about the ways you have revealed yourself through your word, through the stories, songs, poetry, and words of instruction. Hear us, Father, as we spend time in silent prayer remembering and giving thanks for the specific ways you speak to us through your word. Loving God, we also remember the times when we have seen you move and work specifically in our own lives, times when we were discouraged or confused, times when we were drawn close to you in the midst of trial, times when you provided what we needed at just the right time, times when we celebrated your goodness and your grace. Hear us, O God, as we remember those times and also give you thanks for your provision in our lives. Merciful Father, we look at the bulletin and see many needs, including the names of people who are receiving hospice services, those who are battling cancer, and those who have continuing needs, as well as the needs we prayed for this morning. We also think of others we know who are facing similar struggles. Hear us as we lift these people before you, while also remembering that your mercy and grace follow us all the days of our lives. Lord our God, we also remember tonight our missionaries, including Corey and Amy Havlicek and their family. Father, supply all they need, and may you use them in powerful ways to eliminate anything that might hinder people from reading your word in their own language. We ask this all tonight, O God, in the name of Jesus, who lives and reigns with you in the unity of the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forevermore. Amen.
Good evening, everyone. So in just a few moments, we are going to come together as a body of the Lord's people to the table that he has prepared for us. And when we come to this table, we're not just reminded of what Christ has done for us, but we are also reminded of what we are to do. And so when we eat this meal, we're not just remembering the sacrifice of Jesus for the forgiveness of sins or the receiving nourishment for the living of our lives, which, of course, that all is going to happen. But this is also to fulfill our mission, to be people who bless others around us with the grace and the love and the mercy and the compassion that we are going to receive tonight through this meal, as we represent Jesus well. So I want to share just a few words with you from 1 Corinthians chapter 11 as we prepare for the supper. These are really the first formal words from the Apostle Paul to the church about how the Lord's Supper is to be conducted. So hear these words from Paul to the church in Corinth, chapter 11, just reading verses 23 to 26. Paul says, I received from the Lord what I also passed on to you. The Lord Jesus, on the night he was betrayed, took bread, and when he had given thanks, he broke it and said, this is my body, which is for you. Do this in remembrance of me. In the same way, after supper, he took the cup, saying, this cup is the new covenant in my blood. Do this whenever you drink it in remembrance of me. For whenever you eat this bread and drink this cup, you proclaim the Lord's death until he comes. And this is the word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
So I want you to imagine for a moment what your life would be like if you completely lost the ability to remember things. And some of you might feel like that process has already begun, but that's another story. But imagine what it would be like, you know, if you were completely unable to bring to mind the books that you have read, you know, the people that you had met, the experiences that you have had. Well, there was once a man. His name was Jimmy, and he suffered from a disease called Korsakoff syndrome, which left him unable to remember anything that had happened to him after the age of 19. And so the doctor who treated Jimmy writes about him in a book, and this doctor met Jimmy when Jimmy was 50 years old, and the doctor knew him for 10 years and saw him once a week for 10 years. And every time he saw him, every week for 10 years, he had to be introduced to Jimmy as if they were meeting for the very first time. And Jimmy would be able to sit down with a magazine and read it, and by the time he got to the end of it, he would have completely forgotten everything from the beginning. And so he could read it again, over and over and over, and it would be new every time. Every time he looked into the mirror, he expected to see this 19-year-old boy, and every time he was shocked to see this gray-haired old man looking back at him. He forgot who he was. You see, who you are depends on your ability to remember. Who you are depends on your ability to remember. And of course, that's what we're going to do together in just a few moments, aren't we? We're going to remember. If we lose our memory, we don't know who we are. And so in this passage where Paul is giving instructions to the church in Corinth, he's calling them, us, to remember. And then he sketches this scene. It's a scene of Jesus and his friends in that upper room. And of course, Jesus is also calling us to remember. And now you need to do some remembering for just a moment. Because for 3 years, Jesus and his friends were inseparable. They had been together 24 hours a day, 7 days a week, 52 weeks of the year. Jesus' friends had listened to his teaching. They had watched him walk on water. They saw him feed 5,000 people with just 5 loaves and 2 fish. They'd seen him heal the sick and cast out demons and calm storms and raise the dead. These friends of Jesus had left everything for him. They abandoned their jobs and their homes and their families in order to follow him all the time. He had turned their world upside down, and now they've come to watch him die. And now Jesus says this extraordinary thing to his friends. He says to them, "Eat this bread to help you remember me." He says, "Drink this cup to help you remember me." I want you to remember. Now, why does he say this? I mean, after 3 years and 24 hours a day and 7 days a week and 52 weeks of the year, is Jesus worried that they might forget him? Well, frankly, yes. To tell you the truth, that's exactly what he's worried about. I mean, not that they'll forget him in the sense that, oh, he'll slip their minds and they'll say, "Well, who was that again? Jesus? Who was that?" But he's concerned rather about a kind of spiritual forgetfulness. See, who you are depends on your ability to remember. And Jesus is drawing on one of the most important words in the entire Old Testament. It's used many times. Joshua leads the people of Israel across the Jordan River, and when they get to the other side, he stops them and he tells them to make a little pile of 12 rocks. And he says, "When your children see this pile of rocks and they ask, 'What's that pile of rocks doing there?' I want you to tell them about the time you were crossing the Jordan River and God pulled the waters apart and you walked across on dry land. And I want it to be there as a memorial," he says. "I want you to remember." And then all through the Old Testament, God says, "Remember the Sabbath day to keep it holy." He says, remember that you were slaves in Egypt, and with a strong arm, I delivered you from the slavery of Egypt. When you see the rainbow, I want you to remember that I promised that I would never destroy the earth again by a flood. He says, when you celebrate the Passover and you eat unleavened bread for 7 days and your children ask, why are we doing this? I want you to tell them about the time that your houses were spared by the blood of the Lamb. I want it to be a memorial. I want it to be a sign on your foreheads. And over and over and over, the Bible says, remember, remember, remember. And now here's the crucial question. Why do you think God tells us to remember so often? Anybody know? I mean, it's not a trick question. It's because I think we forget, don't we? We are amazingly forgetful people. And we have two problems with our memory. And one of them is this. We forget what we should remember. You know, we just forget stuff, right? And so I just want to see by a show of hands tonight, and I mean, and let me go through this category, these categories here. If you've ever forgotten something, let's just see. If you've ever taken a test and then you've forgotten an important piece of information or a date, if you've ever forgotten somebody's name or telephone number, if you've ever forgotten a birthday or, worse yet, an anniversary, if you've ever forgot your car keys, if you ever walked out of the mall and forgot where you parked your car, if you've ever walked into a room and you can't remember why you walked into the room in the first place, if ever in your life you have ever forgotten something, just raise your hand. Okay, and some of you have forgotten the original question already, so you didn't raise your hand. But we are amazingly forgetful people, aren't we? And what the Bible says is especially astounding about us human beings is our capacity to forget God. The capacity of human beings to forget the God who made them, the God who loves them. Remember, God delivered his people Israel out of the slavery of Egypt, and within days, they're constructing a golden calf. And Moses says to them in Deuteronomy 32, you forgot the God of your birth. You forgot, not meaning that God slipped their minds or anything like that, but you forgot. You're living as if God never loved you, as if God never saved you. You're living as if God is absent from your life. You just forgot God. And of course, it's not just Israel. I do that all the time. I see people all day long who have needs and they have cares and concerns and they want my attention and they want my time and they need my help. And the initial response of my heart very often is, I've forgotten God. I've just forgotten him. And I'm not living like Jesus. I'm not representing him. And so Jesus says to his friends, and he says to you and me, remember me. By which he means not just call me to mind occasionally. Now, the Greek word here is anamnesis. And the negative form of that word is the word that we get amnesia from. Jesus is talking about a kind of remembering that can help you avoid spiritual amnesia. See, when you remember, if you do it right, if you do it Jesus' way, when you remember, what was real once before becomes real once again, and you are changed. You know, that sort of thing happens in our ordinary lives sometimes. You know, sometimes just a song will do it, right? There'll be a song that comes on that you hear that you connect with a certain time in your life, and all of the memories flood back as if they're all present. Several years ago, we were at an anniversary party. It was a 75th wedding anniversary party, actually. And this older couple, married for 75 years, asked to have some of their songs played. And so the songs came on, and we watched. And this man, now 95 years old, took his wife in his arms And you could just see it in their eyes as they looked at each other and shuffled around the dance floor. They recalled the night that they had made their vows as if 75 years just melted away. And in their eyes, the gray hair, the bifocals, and the wrinkles just melted away. And she was a young, blushing bride again, and he was a strong, handsome groom. And what had been real once before became real once again, all because of a silly song. And Jesus calls us to remember. He's not saying just call me to mind once in a while, but when you remember, if you do it right, what was real once before becomes real again, and you're changed. And all of a sudden, the God who delivered Moses from Pharaoh, the God who ushered his children across the Jordan River, is suddenly seen to be present. He's here now, and the one that's being delivered by that God is you. And me, the God of Abraham and Isaac and Jacob, is your God and my God. I think probably everybody in this room, if we had time tonight, could come up with a little pile of rocks. You know, memories about when God guided you or blessed you or healed you or rescued you or loved you in some way, right? But there's something else I need to point out in this passage, because this is not just a passage about warm memories. This is not just a nostalgic trip down memory lane that Paul's talking about here, because this is a passage about death, broken body, and shed blood. You see, we have two problems with our memory. One of them is we forget what we should remember. Do you know what the other one is? We remember what we should forget. We remember what we should forget. And I think that is a much more painful problem. There's an older gentleman that I used to have breakfast with once a month, and we would talk about everything, and we'd share with each other. And there was one time that he shared with me very openly. This happened many, many years ago. He had become involved with his wife before they were married, and she became pregnant, and this was a Christian family in a small Christian community, and he agonized over that for all these years, and he said it left him with a wound in his heart that would not heal, and every time the issue was brought up and talked about, it just opened that wound again, and it tormented him, and he felt guilty, and he felt dirty, and he said, that's the reason that I never accepted the nomination to serve as an elder in my church. I didn't feel worthy. I didn't feel spiritually worthy. He wouldn't let it go. It wouldn't let him go. And I suppose it's different issues for all of us, but my guess is that for a fair number of people in this room tonight, what could keep us from encountering Jesus and remembering Jesus is something that's lodged in the memory banks of our hearts that we just can't forget. See, the real problem of human beings is we remember what we can't forget. And so Jesus says this. He says, know this about God, because God is not only the universe's greatest rememberer, he is also the universe's greatest forgetter. You know the psalm. As far as the east is from the west, so far has God removed our transgressions from us. Our sin is so irrelevant to God's attitude towards us, it's as if he has just forgotten it. It's as if God, I mean this omniscient, all-knowing, all-seeing being, has just had something escape from his memory. It's just blotted out. It's gone. And Jesus says, see, that's the new covenant in my blood. That's exactly what it is. That's the sufficiency, Jesus says, of my life and my death and my resurrection for you. Listen. Tonight, we are called to remember. But tonight, and this is good news, we are also called to forget. Tonight is a night to forget. And so tonight, what we celebrate also is a time to forget. Now, I don't mean that we do that in an unhealthy way, you know, that we repress things or we just gloss over stuff. I mean that as human beings, every one of us has those kinds of memories that it can occasionally, if we allow them to, wake us up at 3 o'clock in the morning, staring at the ceiling, wondering, why did we do what we do? And why can't it be undone? And Jesus said, listen, God's desire toward you, God's intention toward you is that you not be tortured or dogged by guilt anymore. God's forgiveness for you is utter and complete and sufficient. And it's all wrapped up in this business of the new covenant. It's not based on what you can do. It's not based on your observance of some moral law, but simply on the grace of God in Jesus and the new covenant. So forget it, but remember Christ. And now you need to understand that this kind of remembering is actually a costly thing. You know, when we come to the table, Jesus says, look, I want you to remember, but understand what this remembering costs, and it will demand something of us. This kind of remembering invites, where Jesus invites his friends to a costly kind of remembering. You know, in the Bible, when it uses that word remember, it's used mostly of God. God is the one who remembers. And most often, God remembers his people. And what that means is not that just God says, oh, yeah, that's right, they're my people again. But it means that God has acted. God has delivered. God has saved. And it's a very costly thing. Broken body. Shed blood. Do you recall when Jesus was crucified, there was next to him two thieves, and one of them, the repentant thief, had a request for Jesus. Do you remember what that request was? He said, Jesus, will you what? Remember me when you come into your kingdom. Jesus, remember me. And you understand what he meant by that. I mean, that he doesn't mean just, you know, acknowledge my identity or something like that. But he says, Jesus, I want to be with you. Jesus, I've lived a pretty miserable life, and I'm being crucified, and it's just, and I have no quibble with the legal system here. I have sinned against human beings. I have sinned against God. But nonetheless, Jesus, I, who have come to my last moment, turn to you, and I ask you, Jesus, remember me. And do you remember Jesus' response? He says, okay. Okay, it's settled. That's it. Today, this day, I'll remember you and you'll be in paradise. I won't forget you. And do you know what that remembering cost? It cost the cross. Death on a cross, broken body, shed blood, not a casual thing. See, remembering Jesus, the kind of remembering that he calls us to is always done in the shadow of the cross. And there will be effort involved in remembering Jesus. It's a costly thing for us too. There will be pain involved in remembering. There will be a sting to it. That's part of why Paul in this passage goes on to warn people that as they observe this supper, they should examine themselves and confess their sins. So if there's anything that you need to confess or repent of, or bring before God, or lay at the cross tonight, do it. But that's a costly thing, and maybe it involves grieving and mourning and wailing over your sin. See, when we come together to remember, there's something going on that's beyond our ability to comprehend, isn't there? This is a mysterious thing. We're going to come to the table. We're going to remember the death of Jesus, his sacrifice, his resurrection, the overwhelming grace that he pours out, the completeness of forgiveness. Our sin is gone. And Christ is going to be present. And a mysterious transaction will occur as we consume the bread and the cup. We receive into our bodies the very presence of Christ, his grace, his love. We remember that. And if we do it right, if we do it Jesus' way, we'll be changed. Remember Jimmy? I started the message talking about Jimmy. The doctor who treated him, he had Korsakoff syndrome. Doctor who treated him wondered if Jimmy was capable of any sort of spiritual life at all. And so one day, the doctor walked by the hospital chapel, and he saw in there Jimmy. He was kneeling on the ground, and he was receiving communion. And he went to the chapel on a regular basis, as it turned out, to receive communion. And the doctor writes that when he was in there in that moment, it was like Jimmy was another person. All the anxiety, all the emotional confusion that usually surrounded him was gone, the doctor writes. And he was just focused and at rest. And there was a kind of peace that had come over Jimmy that he had never seen before. And this is what he writes at the end of his account about Jimmy. In that moment of communion, he found his soul. In the moment of communion, he found his soul. See, who you are depends on your ability to remember. Do this, Jesus says, in remembrance of me. For when you remember, if you do it right, if you do it Jesus' way, what was real once before becomes real once again. And we are transformed. And you do proclaim the Lord's death until he comes. So let's pray, and then we'll come to the table. So now I invite you in this moment of prayer to remember Jesus. To put aside everything else in your mind and your life, all of the other details that distract you, and simply remember Jesus. That he really did live and taught, and that he died, and that he was raised again. And he is now here. And if you have appropriated this new covenant, you're forgiven. And now in this moment, Jesus wants to commune with you. If you will not miss it, Jesus, who is here, wants more than anything else to commune with you. And so Jesus, as best we can right now, we remember you. And we pray in your name. Amen.
Thank you.
As we come to celebrate the supper tonight, if you are a visitor in our midst, we're so glad you're here, that you've joined us in worship. And if you normally partake of the supper in your own home church, you are welcome to come and join us at the table. We will celebrate tonight, as we always do in the evening at Le Grave, by intinction. You'll be dismissed by rows to come forward, take a piece of the bread, dip it in the cup, and then partake. Two rows will come forward down the center aisle. There will be three stations, one in the middle and two just off to the sides. If you're coming down this side of the aisle, go to whatever station is open, either the middle one or the one on your right. And if you're coming down this aisle, go to whatever station is open, either the one in the middle or the one on your left. If you need gluten-free elements, they are available at both of the side stations, but you do need to request them. And if it's difficult for you to come forward physically, just stay where you are. There will be an elder who will be roving around, and he will bring the elements to you.
Let's come to the table, the gifts of God for the people of God. Join me in the program as we celebrate the Lord's Supper with the prayer of thanksgiving. The Lord be with you.
And also with you.
Lift up your hearts.
We lift them up to the Lord.
Let us give thanks to the Lord our God.
It is right for us to give thanks and praise.
With joy we praise you, gracious God, for in your great love, out of nothing, you created heaven and earth and everything in them. You made us in your image and kept covenant with us, even when we fell into sin.
We give you thanks for Jesus Christ our Lord, who by his life, death, and resurrection opened to us the way of everlasting life.
Therefore, we join our voices with all the saints and angels and the whole creation to proclaim the glory of your name.
Continue with the prayer of consecration. Lord our God, send your Holy Spirit so that this bread and cup may be for us the body and blood of our Lord Jesus Christ. May we and all your saints be united with Christ and remain faithful in hope and love. Gather your whole church, O Lord, into the glory of your kingdom. We pray this in the name of Jesus, who taught us to pray, saying,
Our Father, give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts, as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory forever. Amen.
So on that critical Thursday night, Jesus gathered with his friends in an upper room in Jerusalem. And as they were reclining at the table, the meal was set before them with special foods, recalling God's deliverance from the slavery of Egypt. And Jesus wanted to give his friends an object lesson of what he would do the next day. And so from the table, he took the bread. And when he had given thanks, he broke it and said, "This is my body, which is given for you. Do this in remembrance of me.
In the same way, after supper, Jesus took the cup, and he said, "This is the new covenant in my blood. Do this as often as you drink of it in remembrance of me. For whenever you eat this bread and you drink this cup, you proclaim the Lord's death until he comes again. Come, for all things are now ready."
Thank you.
Would you please rise and join? Let's join together in our response of praise to God. Praise the Lord, O my soul. Praise the Lord, O my soul,
and forget not all his benefits,
who forgives all your sins,
and heals all your diseases,
who redeems your life from the pit,
and crowns you with love and compassion.
Worthy is the Lamb who was slain. Receive the parting blessing of our Lord. The grace of Jesus Christ is yours to keep. The love of God is yours to share with one another. The power and presence of the Holy Spirit is yours to equip you and encourage you in your work and in your faith. So go in peace to love and serve the Lord Jesus.